listeners, and welcome to the Roarcast. My name's James Frassi to take you through the Odyssey that is supporting the Brisbane Roar Football Club. And, well, it's a short turnaround since our last one, but we've got to get back into it because there's games are coming midweek and we just needed to get a show out. So we're recording a bit earlier in the week this week just to get it straight into your ear holes while it's fresh in our brains, listeners. And to do that, I'm joined by Mr. Dave Stewart. Welcome back, good sir.
Thank you, good sir. How are you?
Yeah, good. Oh, tired. I mean, I play indoor on a Sunday afternoon, so it's the legs, they're a bit weary. They're a bit weary. And a man that actually plays indoor with me, the green dinosaur himself, Yoshida. How are you?
Very, very dead. Very dead. That indoor game did kill me. But we won, and that has something in common. The winning theme did continue this weekend, except for one game.
Depends if you want to chuck the Matildas in on that as well, or the Socceroos, you know. Anyway, we'll get to that all in a minute, so...
Yeah, so we had two wins.
Two wins and two losses.
I'd successfully managed to actually forget that Matildas loss even happened until you said that. But that's all right, reality.
It's pretty impressive since we're recording less than an hour since it finished. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, less than an hour after Matildas crashed out of a major competition just before they host a World Cup. You know, it's fine. It's fine.
This just shows how well I do to ignore the words of Andy Harper. But anyways. Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we will start with the A-League men's because they are the most winningest team in the club now. And it was 3-0. 3-0. Yeah, no, two wins in 3 days and all of a sudden the most winningest team. Thanks for that evidence. One extra draw.
Bullshit. Evidence or it didn't happen.
Yeah. I've done the maths right.
Both teams have a point per game at the moment. Goal difference is probably there. So technically the women's side is actually the most successful because they have a one better goal difference than the men.
Yes, this is true. This is true, but the men won them this weekend, so let's talk about them first. it was Brisbane Roar 3, Milo Yusnich in the 27th and 65th minute with the double, and the Admiral himself, Admiral Akbari, Remet Akbari there, in the 74th minute with the sealer as such. Western Sydney Wanderers didn't trouble the goal scorers, so no goals for the Potatoes in the red and white stripes from Western Sydney. 5,137 in attendance at your local newspaper stadium out there. Bookings to James J. John O'Shea in the 31st minute, whichever personality or name he wishes to go by this week. And Corey Brown in the 37th minute, also picking one up. Dave, did we play so well that we got the Wanderers coach sacked, or did he get himself sacked?
I think we were the sole reason the Wanderers coach was sacked. I think the primary reason was his coaching ability, because non-existent. I'm thinking that Newcastle probably feel like they've dodged a gigantic bullet right about now.
yeah, no.
Because. No, we were good, but Wanderers was fucking dog shit. They were terrible in all aspects of that game. Like, they were not good. They were barely NPL level, which is great because we're an NPL side.
Yeah, we're a good NPL side, and now we're barely
an All-Stars 11. We're an All-Stars 11 NPL side. So, but no, in fairness to us, we were good, but they were terrible. We weren't amazing, and we'll touch on Mitch and his, if you'd like. But yeah, it was more a case of not the better team by default, but we were clearly the better team on the night.
It just says so much more about Wanderers that we were the better team and clearly and comfortably the better team of the two out there. Because that Wanderers team, that they legitimately their squad could be getting paid like, you know, they could have a salary cap that's probably spending wise a double what ours is on wage bill. Because you know they'll be using all the marquee spots and things like that we're probably not, and so that could edge up to almost being double ours, or, you know, it's a good 50-60% higher.
Rodwell, he's a big name in that side straight away. Hamed came for probably money.
Hamed's on a lot of money. Trados would be a fair bit, I think.
From oil money, sort of Saudi Arabia. So those guys aren't getting paid nothing. You know, they're getting paid a decent stack of cash. Even Steven Yagakovich will be feeling like he came here for money and he could have kept his reputation intact. Same thing with Trimbers, to be fair. But yeah, Brendan Yabini might be on the line. I just wanted to side. They've got a good side. What the fuck are they doing with the life, with their lives? They're terrible.
Exactly. That's exactly. Keanu Backus is a decent midfielder, but this is not a Wanderers podcast.
We're not around the block, but
I can tell you. I can tell you what they're doing. Their season is summed up by them losing in their FA Cup to Appia Leichhardt Tigers. They're doing absolutely shit.
Yeah.
Right. Not just that. That's an Appia Leichhardt that was out of season.
Their one goal of the season was thanks to refereeing blunders. So
we couldn't have played Wanderers though at a better time though, because look, we'll happily take Wanderers' misery as our game, because we have got a little bit of solid momentum now our way. We worked out when was the last time we won a game 3-0?
We worked it out on the end of last season when Melbourne City sent up a B team.
Yeah, we did.
It wasn't actually that long ago, technically, in games played. Yeah, look, I mean, they're abject, absolutely abject. But so let's talk a bit about some of our sort of players. I think Milo Usnich is obviously the leading line here. And I think, Sheba, I'll throw it to you first, and then I know, Dave, you've got thoughts on him. And I think that there's an interesting thought around him, isn't there, that he's scoring all these goals, but also he should just be banging more in.
Well, last night he should have, because he should have had a double hat-trick last night. He should have, yeah. I hope he continues this, because he always seemed to pop up and score goals. Just want to be like, ah, cool, Milo Usnich scored. Yay. But last night it was actually him putting a solid claim down to possibly being our solid striker. Very glad he did it, because imagine if we had lost that game last night, where our heads would be. Not be good.
And yeah, Dave, I think you have thoughts on some of the other people.
Yeah, look, I don't think he's... You mentioned he's to be our starting striker. I don't think he's going to be our starting striker. I don't think he should be either. Basically, he's a winger that has to play striker because he has to play striker. We have all of our strikers are
because we got no one else.
So he's kind of like the round peg in the square hole, if you like. So I don't think he should be striker. Did Dunbar last night in that game? Yeah, absolutely. He had so many chances, and he brought up the stat price in our group chat that he had an XG of 2.66 just on his own. Some teams don't get that much XG in a game, but he had 2.66 and an expected assist of 0.9. So spaces, he's getting all the opportunities in the world. He should have had, like you said, 6, because realistically he fluffed so many opportunities and scored probably the two of the easier ones, but he fluffed so many opportunities. He hit the crossbar at one point as well, lest we forget. So he's getting all the opportunities, and he's a winger. He's creating these or getting into these chances or getting these opportunities. I think picture stuff here is that I'm happy that he's getting into these spots, that he's creating these opportunities, and he finishes those opportunities where we're on for the biggest score we've ever had against any side ever. And that'd be fun. But I think someone else, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, so apologies to whoever might have said it. It might have been someone like Vince Regara or something like that. But said if he had that finishing, he wouldn't be playing A-League. He'd be playing somewhere else. Probably fair, because he was getting into some great spots. He was blitzing anyone behind or he was trying to pass. He was quick. And our passing was good at getting him into those spaces too. We were looking for those balls in behind, and he was knew where to be. So and as frustrating as it was to watch Milo Usnich have so many opportunities, it seemed like we were going to wait forever for that second goal to come. It's more promising than not. I'd rather he be there and get the chances and fuck them up, but still score 2 after having, potentially 3 goals on the board just off his own back and 0 goals on the board because of, actually says he had no chances and having no goals on the board. I'd rather that be doing that. So there is a positive out of it. I don't think he should be dropped. In this space, he's not going to be dropped.
He took a big drop. He just scored a double. He got the Macca's man of the match.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I've got another thing to say about that too. That man of the match is based on a Twitter poll which happened towards the end of the match. I looked at that Twitter poll, and fucking Jay O'Shea was killing it out there and was not mentioned. This is bullshit. Jay O'Shea deserved to be listed in that. Steinman got in ahead of him. It's like, no, Steinman's fine.
But to be fair, Jay won like the previous. Yeah, Jay O'Shea probably. Well, you can't.
No matter. This isn't fucking under sevens where everyone gets the award once every week, like, you know, across the year. It's, you know, you're asking the fans who was the player that won, who was the best player. And I voted for Akbari personally because I thought he had a cracking game. Aside, his operating passing and whatnot, it was not to me. Frustrated because he's missing so many goals, but I thought Akbari was by far and away the best player on the field. But O'Shea was in that conversation. Come on.
Yeah. You know, mate, if you're sending, once you send your player of the match to just random Twitter polls, you know, no, we love Twitter polls. I mean, we love our listeners, and we appreciate your voting in our Twitter polls for your tipping every week.
Twitter polls are the best. Whenever you see a Twitter poll, always vote on them. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. Always vote. I was just actually looking at Milanesic's stats. So for Adelaide, he basically had, you know, four seasons where he pretty much, probably three seasons where he started regularly and played a lot of minutes. And he only scored 3 goals, 5 goals, and 5 goals. And he's already up to 4 for us in only 8 games. So, you know, but then he's actually a little bit older than I thought he is. He's 28, so he should be basically.
He's prime, mate.
Yeah, he's in his prime. And look, I think he's at level, let's be honest. He is at that level. And sometimes that's with fine. A flaky winger, you're going to get that.
He's from NPL. He's been a good player on NPL level. And now he's gone overseas for a little bit, come back, and now he's playing, like you said, at this level. And there's plenty of players that are playing at this level that are where they've found their level. That's perfectly fine.
Exactly. Let's move on from Milanesic, and I will say that he has definitely a couple of our other regular contributors to the podcast that agree with your information about Milanesic, that he's, it's great that he's scoring, but also, how does he butcher so many chances? Akbari, first goal.
He's got 4 goals in 4 games. He's still got 4 goals in 4 games so far, like the last 4 games. He's on fire at the moment, so... Yeah,
exactly.
The thing there, should he be dropped? No, is the answer. No,
Yeah, did actually. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Will he get? Yeah, but also we have no other attackers fit, so he definitely isn't getting dropped.
Yes, that's right.
Because he's also scoring.
Should he be dropped for other players when they come back fit? No, he should not. He should continue playing.
Exactly. Akbari, yeah, as you said, Dave, great game from him. 54th game, finally gets his first goal. So obviously he's played a lot, probably like more defensive midfield as well, but. Steamed onto it well, finished it well, so that was a good little finish from him. I know you enjoyed little Corey Brown, bit of shithousery, mate. You're always on shithousery watch, Dave.
Yeah, man. Bit of shithousery.
What happened?
Just on Akbari, I think it's been better. Like, he's been playing deep for most of his career. I think it's been quite beneficial there. I mean, in that space now, and it lets him and O'Shea go forward. I think that's helped him in this case, because he and O'Shea are very much more attacking players in this current setup. Which is good to see. Hopefully Akbari can kind of put a few more away. So he did that fairly regularly on pre-season games. And people might remember that the moment where he gave away a throw-in, but bundled out at the same time and kind of slid across the ground with the ball. And there's a little bit of a melee that ensued when, of course, the Wanderers player tried to get the ball off of him. What people may not have seen if they weren't watching the coverage, did Corey Brown take the ball that was going out with him and then kind of shift it behind the seats that the physios and the medical staff waiting for, you know, with stretchers were? They took out the spare ball that was on the cone. So that was not able to be collected quickly. So Corey Brown, shithousery awareness level is 100 for that guy. That guy's. And I applaud him. I applaud him a lot for that.
You know what? Get him in. How has Joel King made the Socceroos over Corey Brown? Get him in there. What are the Australian teammates?
Do you really think Oman's going to score any goals with Corey Brown kicking every ball that's on the sideline away? No.
Exactly.
He'll be making off the pitch.
They'll be all asking him where did he get his hair transplant from.
Free kept another clean sheet, so sort of two in the 11 games, just like two wins, two clean sheets for Freak, and probably, but there was a moment where he absolutely gave the ball away, and then turned it over just outside the bloody 18-yard box, didn't he, Yeshiba? And Rodwell then sort of slung a hard, far shot across, but it just missed the back stick.
Well, it was all Rodwell actually did in the entire game. It was all the only noteworthy thing he did. I was really happy for Freck. I think that clean sheet has given, particularly with the what we'll get to at some point, but the amazing free kick save at the end, that's got to have done himself a huge amount of confidence. That kid just, because he's still learning. He's still learning his trade. He's but in Freck we trust. Super Freck, yeah.
Yeah, I am starting to trust him more. I think it's admittedly, like we were talking about the moment in the first half where he threw the ball away, and you know that happened. Jamie Young used to do that as well, you know, and Jamie Young started to do a lot less by the end of his career. We just didn't get punished this time, which is great. But I think, yeah, Freak's confidence has got to be growing because you know he's gotten a good run, and I think he's probably starting to feel like he belongs, and he's doing some really good things, and he doesn't really. Stupidly, he doesn't need to make the save at the end, but he does make the great save off the Petrados free kick and make sure that the potato doesn't get anything.
Because I feel for him, because I just hope there was never any feeling for Freck that, you know, he was basically just handed the reins just because Jamie left and, you know, that was the best we had. It's a case of, no, look, clearly Mooney sees something in you and, yep, Freck's proved the business, so... That's kind of made that ship sailing a bit easier overall.
That's it. He's you know, he's got it. That's what I mean. He's got to be starting to feel like he belongs. Anything more you want to add on Freck there, Dave?
No, he's just awesome. I won't say awesome. He's not the best kid we've had, but at the same time, he's very young, very inexperienced. He's improving. I think that save right at the death of Petrados was a testament to how much he really wanted to make sure he kept his clean sheet of the year, but also his ability to be able to kind of get to those ones. They're not easy ones to save. Very similar, really very similar to the goal we'll touch on in the dub, which we conceded. So he's an improving keeper. I'd be interested to know, and obviously we're not going to see it unless he has an absolute howler, I'd say, but I'm interested to know how Jordan Holmes compares.
Well, that's it. See, we don't have anything to really go on for Jordan Holmes. We don't have any guidelines. That's it.
Yeah, he's still a young Socceroos keeper. He went to the Olympics even as a bench player, which is still more than what I can do, more than what Freck had done. So it's one of those things. If he loses form altogether, then guarantee you'll get a crack at it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. So, but for the moment, he's got the form and he's got the confidence. So good on him. And I've been really happy to see how he's been regressing through Macklin Freck. We just one or two other things to wrap up on. I mean, yeah, we did. I don't even know. Yeah, we won't mention that. How good is winning well? Like, it's just a really nice thing to actually win well and score a couple of goals, and it's just feeling. Winning as well. Yeah, it's
let's
good.
Do more
it's
winning. Good. It's
we should do more winning. I don't know. Can we put that to Warren Moon? Hey, Warren, we really liked what happened. Can we do that more? Like, that'd be awesome.
Hey Warren, this winning thing is really fun. Let's do more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the benefit for winning
Have we lost a photocopier? Did he run away again?
He is running away. He's running away. We'll see if he comes back in.
The toner back in. He's back in again.
The toner again. Someone plugged them. Someone tripped over the power cord again.
Look, he's muted though. That's probably the problem. He's probably muted himself. Can't hear him if he's talking to us. Sure, he can hear us.
Look, big benefit is get a free Big Mac because we scored two goals at home. Hey!
Yay! Big Macs for everybody. Big Macs for everybody. How do we claim these Big Macs? Because I'm actually quite thinking about.
So it's on Mondays, I believe, and you show your game ticket or season membership. Yeah.
Easy. So I don't have to have gone to the game. I just have my season membership.
That should be fine.
I've got the card.
Presumably, I have no idea. This hasn't happened before. Look, this is unknown territory, Dave. This is uncharted territory. We haven't scored.
Everybody, just go to your Macca's and get free McDonald's, and just throw the card and say you got to give it to me. It's part of the thing, and then they'll just have to give it to you. It's foolproof.
Exactly. And who knows? Yeah, I think we might also get a free coffee. So I don't know if you can get both at once. So you have to re-queue again to get the free.
I don't even drink coffee. I'm
free small McCaffrey. Interesting. Shiba, are you back with us? Nope. Not looking good for the photocopier.
Your Shiba's dead.
Yeah.
Well, can someone turn him off?
Can't just send him back to Japan for repairs. It's so expensive at the moment as well.
The good news is, and then we're kind of rambling on because we've got, I don't know if there's something like the cut, depends on what you decide to do when you do the editing there, Pricey. Good news is,
well, that's true.
Mila Yuzhnich's photo when he won the Maccas Player of the Match, when John O'Shea, I just did it too, much happier than when Jay O'Shea presented it. He looked like, it was like, what the fuck is this shit? Why am I getting a Maccas award? I think he probably just got told he's going to get a free Happy Meal or something like that if he went down to Maccas. But anyway, that's okay. I'm really keen to see. I want to find out what this Maccas deal is now, because that's awesome. I want Maccas. I'll go to Maccas. This podcast should be not sponsored by Maccas, but feel free to sponsor us, Maccas. I'm happy to accept.
Sponsor everything else. So yeah, it does leave us in 8th place. Let's move on. It does leave us in 8th place. So we've played 8, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 4, 7 goals, 4, 10 against, 8 points on the board, 3 points in goal difference off the 6th, spot, which are in final. So, only took a couple of wins and all of a sudden we're shooting up the ladder. Which might say more about the other clubs than it does about us, let's be honest.
Next game. It's where it is. We're 8th. Get in. Incidentally, Newcastle Jets. League with a positive goal difference.
Yeah, no, so bizarre. Oh no, they would have lost that. They still had like positive.
The positive goal difference, Pricey. Don't mind me, man.
Exactly.
I know what I'm doing.
That's all right. I was just processing out aloud. Newcastle Jets, Dave. They're next up for us on Thursday night football, 6:45 p.m. kickoff Brisbane time for that one.
I was trying to give you a good segue. I even gave you. We're playing Newcastle. Excellent.
Yeah. Definitely next Arsenal, yeah. Broadmeadow Stadium down there, or McDonald Jones or something, I think it's its sponsor's name is. Just literally had a 2-1 loss to Adelaide this evening as we record. Back off their sort of break for COVID, so unfortunately not quitting a team, Christmas. Just straight off a break.
Yeah, they've placed the 19th of December, and in that game, the last time they won was 10th of December. So they're going on about 2 months since they've won. Pretty shit run of form for Newcastle. Yeah, okay, they've only played 2 games since their last win, but still, it's pretty shit. Newcastle's not a team to be underestimated here, I don't think. We're usually pretty good in Newey, history says, anyway.
Does anyone check the weather forecast?
Yeah, well, if there's any sort of rain, quickly sign up Rado, because he's our Lord and Saviour when it comes to rainy days in Newcastle. Newcastle's don't worry about what the bottom of the ladder says. They're a good side. They've conceded some goals, which is unfortunate for them, but they've got a player that's, I think, challenging for the top of the league, the top of the goal scorers list. They're keeping possession. They're a side, and they're getting done. Just looking at their results, they've been done times by a single goal, like 2-1 results. We're hard-pressed to score more than one goal in most games, so if we're expected to score 2 goals to beat Newcastle, then we might struggle. Yeah, they've, at the same time, have also drawn with Western Sydney Wanderers, so fast. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know about where their ups and downs could be. So hopefully we can get them on the down. Coming off, like I said, a long break with a short turnaround. Hopefully that works in our favour. I'd imagine, though, it's probably going to be more like Perth in the second game, being a much better proposition than after they played us our first game. They're much like us, Sydney, the first time. We were better in the second time we played Sydney. Long layoff. So I'm thinking that Newcastle will probably be a better side coming back around this time around and be up for it.
I agree as well. It's the best time it seems to be is to catch a team is when they're straight off their long COVID break. So, obviously this is going to be the first game back as well. Look, Newcastle are playing well. They've got Arthur Pappas in as manager, and he's a young attacking manager. He's trying to get them playing good attacking football, and they've still got some good attacking players there as well. Yeah, okay, they're similar to us, and they're not spending a huge amount on the salary cap. So, it should, in theory, be a pretty close game, and Yeah, so just it'll come down to the small moments, and we'll see what happens in that one. So hopefully that should actually be a good Thursday night game there. And I just have a quick look at the forecast. 80% chance of showers. So, you know, a high chance of showers.
I'll wait for the Twitter announcement saying that they've got a new signing in a tackled A puddle.
Exactly.
Play out front for them.
It's out front. Oh, and it's meant to rain a fair bit on the Wednesday as well. It's actually going to be quite cool. Only 23 degrees, so a bit of a cooler one. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, that's Newcastle, which is next up for us in the A-League men's. Let's move on to the A-League women's team. And it was Brisbane Roar 1, Minigori with the pen in the 71st minute. And you thought maybe, just maybe, they were going to sneak the points. But Melbourne City, Rihanna Polishina in the 79th, and then Hannah Wilkinson right at the death in the 90-plus and 4th minute. So a steal away for a 2-1 victory. 1,132, the official attendance for that one. Booking Shea Connors in the 54th, and Nat the Shithouse Master Tatham in the 90th. This was a frustrating result, I think you would say, Yoshiba.
Yes, no, definitely. When Gori scored her penalty, it really felt like it was an injection of the old in terms of the Raw women. And just so quickly, sadly, City just stole the death, the bastards. But I will say, though, I don't think Mia Bailey, though, had a terrible game in goal, however. I don't think that was the case.
A couple of good fingertip saves there.
Yeah, I am quite curious to know... Be curious to know why was Georgie out of the match day squad, but Mia did well.
My theory is that I think it was confirmed somewhere on the line that Mia Bailey had COVID, so I think she might have been one of the first ones to catch it. So my theory is that Georgie Worth also had COVID, and that's why we didn't play last weekend, because we just actually had no goalkeepers fit to play. Where we probably actually had enough of the rest of the squad, it was just literally goalkeepers that were short on.
Yeah. No, that's right. So, look, it was an okay game until City scored two. Or sorry, should I say Canberra scored two? Maybe that's what I should be saying. Listeners, basically the first 5 minutes of the game, I stupidly thought we were playing Canberra because of the green shirts, or grey green, whatever you want to call it.
You just dubbed yourself in there, mate, because I wasn't saying nothing. He wasn't saying anything.
No.
You said beforehand, don't say anything. So, and I was taking the piss, saying I would.
It was either I did it on my own accord, or you possibly put it in there. we should have drawn that game, really, because there was, I can't remember right now because I don't have access to. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Gore did a great through ball to Crummer, but Crummer, she should have been on her bike just a few seconds earlier. Otherwise, we would have been leading that game well and truly earlier than we did.
Can we have a chat about Shea Connors?
Yeah, I didn't take that out, did it? And I got you. Got him.
Ron Burgundy, that. I've read it as it was written. Let's chat about Shea Connors. Shea Connors, and she's very much in the middle of Usnich at the moment, except she didn't score any. I mentioned if she adds... you know, a bit of composure, a bit of finishing to her game, she could be leading this league. She could be strikers in the league. And honestly believe that. She such good spots, good runs. Sometimes she goes, like, I know you're just saying, sometimes, you know, she needs to get on her bike early. Sometimes she gets on her bike too early because she gets offside a fair bit too. But I think maybe, I don't know if it's just a rush of blood, she rushes herself or what, but her finishing, if she can improve her finishing, keep getting into the spaces she's getting into, finishing, she got, what, 3 goals or so for the year? Do Emily Gilnick numbers. I know we're still a fair way into the season already. We could have got another 7 games or so to go, but if she can just improve her finishing, yeah, she'll hit double figures comfortably, in my opinion. So it's a frustrating part of it, because you can see it's there. You can see that next level there. It's in reach. And really just improve, whether it's composure, I don't know which part of it specifically, but whether it's composure, the finishing itself, how it's just the finishing itself, because she does it at NPL level, and she does it enough at NPL level to tell me that she's had a finish. Whether it's just a composure thing or something's missing there that's stopping her from going from 3 goals in 7 games to having had scored 7 goals in 7 games. It's just, maybe it's Shay's job to find out where it is. Maybe it's McPherson's job to kind of work out what she needs. They find that one piece. Once they find that piece of the puzzle, it's under the fucking couch and the dog's knocked it under there and trying to chase a trade or something. You know, once that piece is found, put in place, could be a great striker in this league and give us goals aplenty. She could be Hannah Wilkinson. She could be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the difference between is a bit of bit of composure, a bit of control. I think she's like her touch. She's always putting it so far out in front of herself because she's so like quick. You know, she's sort of you know, similar to Milan Usen. You know, they punt it in front of themselves a long way because they're sort of so used to running around and you know, and that's where she got caught out on. She nipped the ball off someone and then sort of. It was a second touch was just too heavy, and then she put it away, and then that's where she almost, I think that's actually where she got the booking from. She cleaned up poor Bubs in goal, sort of on the follow through. And
yeah, you know, a couple of times where she some did people that one against Bubs was pretty bad.
It was a bad fit, but it all came down to her touch, right? Like her second touch was just way too heavy, put it too far away, and then she chased the lost claws, and the goalkeeper will and truly got there before her. But that second, some people like, oh, after her first touch, she should have taken a shot, but then the second touch was just too strong. That just needed a bit more to the side or something like that, and yeah, it's just she's still like punting it in front of herself like she was running at full pace. But it's the exact same conversation, you know. Emilia Usinic did put some goals away. Shea Connors didn't. Shea Connors has in previous game. Emilia Usinic hasn't. Like it's just that frustrating, flaky sort of winger. But as we sort of said, you know, if Emilia Usinic was much better, he probably wouldn't be playing in this league. And you know, maybe that's why Shea Connors wasn't picked up for American League. She's come out here. You know, she's I think got a bit of another career as a physio or something as well, or fitness or. So it's a bit of a second chance league.
Funny thing is with the dub, because of the, I suppose, the opportunity, it's not really right, but because the opportunities, I would imagine, are probably more limited in the women's game, to get a professional contract to be able to support yourself in that regards. Yeah, you probably players will more likely move to countries for you know, job prospects as much as football. So, yeah, she comes over here, she's doing physio work as well, and that's great. You know, for a career prospect, it would be fantastic if she was able to earn a proper full-time living as a footballer. They should be able to, obviously. But opportunities in terms of also a number of clubs globally, alone just in Australia, obviously fairly limited in that regard. So you'll see more occasions where you probably have women footballers coming to a country and being able to play in a league like the W League or the W League, the A League Women's, you know, that step above, you know, the rest of the league, a player like Shea Connors, like Hannah Wilkinson, right? Maybe you're a little bit more complete and stay in that league than, say, you know, Millie Usnich's, which see the extra pieces there. And once they get the extra piece, they're going to go to another league where they can get paid more money because the opportunities are there for them, even if it's in, you know, Sweden or Division Germany or whatever the case is, you know what I mean? So I'm not saying that it's great, you know, it'd be better if these opportunities were available for women players as well. Just sheer number of...
I think that's why she ended up over here, was because the NPL women's system is actually a much better deal as such than what goes on in the US. Like, the US, like, obviously the top division, I think, is quite well-funded, and then there's college football as well, which goes all right. But I think basically once you hit the end of college... If you sort of don't jump up to the, was it, is the
I think that answers your Cannon Clough sort of situation as well. I think her and Connors were in a similar sort of boat with that. There might be some.
It's like sort of there's a nothing land in between, and maybe Riley Baston might have been sort of similar to that as well. And the dub, you know, it's a well trodden path, I guess. You know, Americans and Australian women, you know, crossing over, playing each other leagues and stuff like that. But we're still seeing some of the benefits of that.
So. There's those pathways from one country to the other, but also a cultural, no, less of a cultural shock as well, especially if you're having to go to a country. You're not just having to go to play football, you're going to have a career of some sort as well, like a physio, for example. So that cultural shift is probably not as a bit easier when you're going from an America to Australia or, say, an England to Australia and vice versa. I get the feeling those opportunities, those middle ground opportunities, are probably more available in the UK than America, which is why we see a lot more Americans. And Kiwis, obviously.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. That's the two goals we did concede. I don't think there's much to really talk about. The pen was well taken by Katrina Gorry, and the pen was definitely, that was a massive shove in the back.
It wasn't a shove, it was a trip.
I think.
It wasn't a shove. It looked like a shove.
Doesn't matter, the way she fell,
but yeah, it was definitely a trip, and she didn't, like, the player that tripped, I didn't think it was a trip. I don't know how that happened. It was a trip. And just claim innocence until
the way she fell. The
referee and changing their mind. Yeah,
definitely a foul. And then probably the two we did concede. I mean, the free kick is a great cracking free kick. Mia Bailey can't get across. That was just a cracking free kick. I'm not sure if much else can be said about that. But then probably to,
I thought Mia maybe was just slightly off canter in terms of her positioning, but we're talking very minuscule margins here. Maybe if she was just a little bit more to the right, but how could she have saved it? That's me nitpicking. Like,
we're talking the margins where you might have seen it late, and at the time that she saw it, instead of being on the balls of her feet, she was slightly on her heels at the time. It's minuscule sort of moments, isn't it?
That's right.
But in that case, enough to get it corner, and it was a good free kick, let's face it. It wasn't down her throat. It was, she had to get up into the corner to get to it.
Exactly.
To be fair, not long after, I was gonna say that
Mia Bailey, she is clutch.
I was gonna say just before we go further from that Melbourne City had a free kick, the one that Tatham gave away a yellow card for. They had a free kick basically in the same spot on 90 minutes. And she was all over that one. She obviously kept that one out. So there's every reason that she could have been preempted going back in that corner or whatnot, but no, she did well to keep that one on its merits as well, and prevent the second one from exactly the same spot from going in at that particular point. Yeah, you got to give props to where it was due there too, because that was important.
Yeah, I think she's good at adjusting, but she is also a tiny goalkeeper. There's a lot of ground for her to cover, and especially even hide up to the bar. So it's really only if she sort of stands and jumps can she even just touch the crossbar. So
there are a couple of times where she did make some pretty good saves where she's basically tipped the ball up onto the crossbar or just over the crossbar. Mm.
And those ones are where she was just directly above her head.
Keeper that might be maybe 5 or 6 centimetres tall, that might have still had to tip it over, but made a bit less of an effort to get to it. Still did it, still got there.
She generally positions herself well to counter that.
Which is something she's got a positioning pretty good for to accommodate that. So she's able to keep the ball out. That's the important thing. And at the end of the day, the winning goal in a second, but the two goals that were conceded, I don't think you can put blame on the keeper. I think there's a lot of other issues that the last goal, just no one challenging Wilkinson. No,
I wasn't. I certainly wasn't blaming me for either ones. Yeah, when you sort of get that through, and Hannah Wilkinson gets that free for a header in the box in the 94th minute, and that's a failure of leadership back there. And it was interesting that Holly Palmer came back, but that meant that I think she got subbed on for Ishinori, and obviously Ishinori's captain, so we lose that sort of defensive midfielder general, and that's when things sort of start to go a bit straight from us. So
Cannon Clough had come off about 10 minutes earlier than that as well, and Rashad, who was coming back from a COVID-enforced break, she wasn't fit. She was on the bench because she was the only body that could physically get onto the bench. If absolutely desperately needed it, and they ended up desperately needing it because Clough had gone off injured. So the fact that, I suppose you had, I think it probably pushed Rankin out. Oh, no, actually, no, it didn't push Rankin out because...
Rankin stayed in the back.
Rashad was going bombing on down the line. It was hilarious. I'm like, hey, where the fuck does this come from?
The big giraffe down the sideline.
But at the same time, you've then got Hannon, who's 19 years old, Rankin, who's 20, I wanted to say, as your two centre-back up against best striker in the league in the dying minutes, and it's not fun. But
we're a short team.
Rankin's 18.
Yeah, we're a short team as well. Exactly, man. Yeah, Roken, I thought, did really well, actually, in centre-back. She's filling in there. I thought that's actually probably her best game this season.
She's great back there doing what she did, but it's still not her primary position. You know, she's very much filling in for that spot for that game and did great for when she was, but, yeah, in those sort of clutch moments where you need that person just have a little bit of extra experience just to be able to keep a player like Hannah Wilkinson out, or at least challenge to make it harder. Maybe she got a little bit lost with that last moment there. I think it was definitely Rankin that was marking in front of her. I think maybe it could have been who's maybe more traditionally used to that positioning and has a bit extra height than Rankin.
I think it was interesting. I remember a corner early in the game where I think it was actually Shea Connors that marked her, and I found that one interesting because to me it should have probably been. Larissa Crummer really was probably the only one that has the height and the physicality to probably deal with someone like Hannah Wilkinson. So, anyway. Any more you want to add from that game?
Sorry on the job.
Yeah.
As I said last time.
Oh, actually, we should mention that amazing double foot, like sliding classic Gorrie challenge. It's just absolutely, if she got any leg with that, that's like so red card, but she got all ball, perfect mini Gorrie. Like, just brilliant. Love it.
Gosh, she's former she Asian player of the year, mate.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And we might have been missing her over in India. I saw a really interesting thing. Maybe it's not interesting, I don't know. She posted up on her Instagram that she had to buy like protective breast cups because obviously she's still like breastfeeding because the bub's still so young, and that obviously hurts a hell of a lot if someone kicks a football into your still creating milk breasts. And so she had to buy like these protective cups to actually, you know, protect herself while she's out there. So things you probably don't think of, or clearly didn't think of when she first came back. And then the first time it happened, went, ow, I really need to solve this problem because it hurt a hell of a lot.
Just get her like a full chest plate, like a body of armor or something like that she can wear out there. She'll be fine.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're not far off. All right, anything more you want to add from the dub game?
All good here. Just that season is slowly starting to get away from us.
I don't know. I'm encouraged. We took Melbourne City, tried from last year, all the way to the end with the young squad with a lot of players out. I'm feeling encouraged. Pricey, who have we got next? I'm pumped up. Who we got? Who's next up?
Who we got next?
Excited. Come on. Who we got? Gonna win this game.
Dave. We got Sydney FC, mate. Yeah, Sydney FC.
It's fine. It'll be at home, right? It's at home. We're good at home. It's
no,
fine.
We're away. We're away in their like preferred stadium to play in Leichhardt Oval on a Wednesday night.
They've
had a break.
We love. We're a good, big underdog story. Surely they can't be that good. Look, how many goals they conceded this year? Surely they've had a few goals going. It'll give us a bit of hope. How many goals they conceded? Was they played 8 games?
They've conceded one this season. Actually, they've conceded one, Dave.
That's okay. They can't score too many then. They must be close to against. How many goals have they scored? They can't score too many goals. It's under your...
Carry the 3, add the 7. They've scored 26 goals in 8 games, Dave. Dave, do you want to know who they last played?
Who did they last play? You can't be that bad. You can't be good side. They must have been all the shit sides. Come on, who did they play?
Exactly, no. They played Melbourne City.
What?
And they beat them 3-0. Melbourne City was second on the ladder.
What?
It was the top of the table clash and they won it 3-0.
All right. Start the show again. We got to work this out beforehand. We can even show you because this... No.
This is not right. It's Sydney FC are in red hot.
Sydney Week. Don't care. Fuck Sydney Week. We're going to do them and they're going to cry and we're going to be... Yeah, they're going to cry. I don't know how they lost.
You've
Brisbane.
Made your sheba leave again with you. You made your sheba drop out again with this anger. Brisbane Roar are currently in seventh place. Played 7, drawn 2. Played 7, 1-2, drawn 1, lost 5, 14-4, 16 against 7 points on the board. Yeah, Sydney FC, as we just said, Leichhardt Oval, 6:35 kickoff on Wednesday night. That's moved forward. It was originally on Thursday night, I think. It's been moved forward to Wednesday night. They're in first place. They're running away with the double league. It's a little bit scary, to be honest.
Let's think about this. They might have a good side, but who's not there? Courtney Vine. Who else is there?
Well, she might be back, mate.
Oh, fuck off. No,
she
they
could
got...
get back now.
Can we get the government to make them quarantine or something on the way back? It's bullshit. Yeah.
They've still got a pretty good team with them.
Made the Matildas lose, so Sydney FC can bring their players back to Brisbane. It's a Sydney conspiracy. Right? All goes all the way to the AFC.
Sydney. Yes, Dave. Absolutely.
And Jess Nasty. Yeah. The Sydney conspiracy. I swear.
Sydney conspiracy.
Literally. Someone tonight whispered into Tony's ear, "Hey, Sydney FC, they're playing Brisbane Roar this week.
They need their players back."
That's literally what it's like. Oh, okay. Well, we've qualified for the World Cup, right? Yeah. Okay.
Good luck, Korea. Really, we're going home. See you later.
Yeah, exactly. Have fun.
5 minutes in. We're going to go home.
Have fun making the final. Have fun making the final and then losing to Japan. They've still got players like Remy Simonson and stuff like that, Princess Albini. They're pretty handy, Sydney FC. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Yeah. So, anyway, they'll definitely go into underdogs, and we'll definitely hope that we can fuck over Sydney, just like we fucked over Western Sydney. You know, that'd be good. That'd be great if the women's team could do that. That'd be fantastic. All right, let's move on. Club Championship. It's actually up. The club championship ladder, it hasn't been updated yet. They only update it like on Mondays, because there's just this one intern and that's all he does. He comes in on a Monday and he updates the club championship ladder.
Not very well.
But we've done a bit of crystal ball forecasting.
It's a 14-year-old work experience kid who comes in once a week just to update the ladders on the keep up side.
Yeah.
Does not do it well.
because it definitely couldn't be automated pulling the data from the A-League men's or A-League certainly women's not tables automatically. No, definitely couldn't have that. That'd be way too hard to do. It's updated on Mondays, but we should jump Western Sydney and Newey up into sixth spot, Dave. Yeah!
Gotta win the championship.
That's it.
You watch.
Yeah, that's it. Watch. Gotta win the championship.
Just gotta believe.
Hang on.
I don't know why does no one else believe? Everyone needs to believe.
Sydney FC men. So we will go up to 15... We're only 19 points behind Sydney FC, who are leading it.
When we win in the dub this weekend, we're 16 points behind, and they won't have been able to catch up. So silver linings, we're gonna get them.
Yeah. Linings, that's it.
Ben would be so down on all this. Look at me, Mr. Positivity, and say catch fucking Sydney at the top of the league. Yeah, fuck Sydney.
Exactly. All right, little bit of news, not too much because there's only been a couple of days since we last recorded, but the Matildas, as we've sort of been referencing through the show, because it happened just before we recorded, or apparently years ago if you're other podcast members, Matildas, they dip out of the AFC Asian Cup in the quarterfinals with a 1-0 loss to Republic of Korea. The refereeing was shithouse, but we still should have fucking scored some goals and should have won. It's very disappointing, because it's a very easy semi-final, because they'll lose against the Philippines or Chinese Taipei to make the final, which is just ridiculous. A much harder game in the quarters than the semis. So, anyway, we've already made the World Cup, so thankfully that doesn't...
Default.
Australia did have a win in the men's World Cup qualifying. We had a 4-0 win over Vietnam. We did have a goal called offside after 19 seconds with Jackson Irvine apparently dripping into an offside position.
Oh, bullshit.
The keeper was never saved that. I want you to picture this. Graham Arnold said he was running around his room celebrating and had to go back to his thing and went, "Wait, what happened? Why did it get chalked off?" Now, I want you to imagine Graham Arnold running around in his underwear because he wasn't on TV.
All I'm imagining now is that part just after we got the corner in that grand final, right before Partaloo scores, and the camera cuts to Graham Arnold on the sideline, grabbing his head, about to pull his hair out of stress, like looking at the computer screen, going, "What happened? What's happening?
What happened?"
Got no one to ask how much. No assistant there to ask how much time's left to go. Yeah, there's no 89 minutes, Graham. You're fine, mate. But that's pretty funny. We're next.
They got Oman away 2 a.m. Wednesday morning. That one on for another one, and that's another must-win game. So, but at the same time, you do have Saudi Arabia playing Japan in our group. So that's obviously really important for the makeup of the top three.
Tuesday night special, ladies and gentlemen. 8:15 time. Japan, Saudi Arabia. I didn't show them up the games on Tenplay while an end game was on, but if they're consistent and they do still show these games, on that. Saudi Arabia. I know we're not. I hate sports washing and shit like that. But in terms of this, because of our own qualification, go Saudi Arabia. Government's terrible.
Yeah, that's it. We need Japan within striking distance. Yeah.
Well, we need if Japan. Yeah, if Japan lose that game, or even if they draw that game, I think. And we win, push on ahead of them. So, and that, then it's honestly in our hands then. So.
That's it.
Be the thing.
That's what we want. Because the teams that are in the mix for the bloody... Because I'm pretty sure it's confirmed that obviously if we finish there, we'd end up by a third team from the other side of the Asian, the other group. And then assuming, say, we won that, then we're pretty sure it's confirmed that the Asian team is running into South America for the final spot of the World Cup. So, there's like your Uruguay, Colombia and Peru are all floating around through that fifth spot in CONMEBOL qualifying. So it's, yeah, it's getting messy.
It's on that third spot. And
that's
third
something spot. You want to avoid.
Aside, just looking at that third place spot, UAE is currently in that spot at the moment. They play Iran next. They play South Korea last, and they've got Iraq in between. So while UAE are currently third, they're no guarantee to stay third. They could very well come down to the last game there. And Lebanon, if Iraq happened to nick points off UAE, it could be UAE, Lebanon, Iraq still. Syria's probably far out, but possible the other teams could you know pick up some valuable points there.
Iran are now confirmed to go into the World Cup, so they may not be as can take the foot off the gas as such. So maybe that could be in their favour or something.
In terms of teams that Iran still has to play, Iran's got to play South Korea, so yeah, that's the top two. They'll take each other out, and that won't impact that bottom sort of chasing pack. I think just looking here really quickly. Syria, I think, plays. Syria is involved in that. So, yeah, the bottom team and the top teams, the ones that aren't involved in that chase are probably not so impacted. I think they will play each other pretty much. So it's going to be an interesting race for third there. I don't think UAE, although they're 4 points clear fourth, I don't think that's a massive matchup. I think there's still opportunity for a Lebanon or an Iraq to get into that space. Korea, though, they're... I think they effectively need 2 points to qualify. I think they're golden.
Yeah, that should be fine with that. So get around that 10 play. And probably just one last little bit of news. Even though he still has me blocked on Twitter, and no, probably still has you blocked on Twitter as well.
Blocked the wrong guys, mate.
Pest apparition.
I found that out when I was putting the thank you very much tweet. Blocked the wrong guys.
Yeah. Well, good to know we had a Twitter account back when he was still playing for us. I suppose we're in that 10th season. Of course we did. Yes, Bess Aparicio, of course, our leading top scorer in the men's competition. He has retired from professional football. So go well, Bess. And I believe they played him singing, what was the song? Stayin' Alive? No. It's a song that they have footage of him singing.
No,
they anyway, I believe they played it in between the two games and the big gap. So, anyway, go well, Bess. Maybe you could unblock us on Twitter, mate. Well, come on, mate. Seriously. It's a bit weird.
I Will Survive, was it?
For those that don't know, he went through... maybe it might be I Will Survive. Yeah. That sounds about right.
I'm trying to think what it could be. Anyway.
He did, just for those that don't know, he clearly had like a social, when he moved from Brisbane to Melbourne, he clearly had like a social media company go and block like every Brisbane Roar related Twitter account. And just obviously we've all never been unblocked. So, so well done, Bess. You were mad and you were mental, but you were a great striker. Ping, Dave.
Ping or tipping?
How's that all going?
Obviously, I didn't hear the tipping part, or the tip part, ping. Because you just said ping in my ear. But that's okay. I understood what you meant.
Well, that's because your ping is so bad. You're only hearing ping instead of tipping.
Can't talk about my ping like that. Right, so we got tipping. Let's
get all over the place.
Still a few games left before. I mean, we were going to go up until around about the first couple of days of February. There's effectively games every day between now and the first week of February. It'll be pretty much just keep an eye on our Twitter for the polls that we put up. Obviously, all those polls are going to be as they come along, because it's up to me to do them that far in advance and not know whether or not the games are going to go ahead. Most of them get canned. Who knows? So keep an eye out for the polls as they come out. They'll be we've been doing that obviously this week, and there's only been about seven games up to now for this weekend. Bit of a score update. The table on 27 points. I'm sorry, Nate. You have fallen away here. You're on 27. Listeners have moved up to 28.
Bastards.
There's still time, but you pick up your act. The listeners are in that battle, and they're chasing Dan now, who's on 32 still. Well, it's still, but he's still third last on 32, so making a play. As we get further up the ladder, I've back a little bit. I'm on 37. You've now got Rick and Ben both on 38. You're still ahead on 41. So still leading the league there, mate. Well done.
Price is number one.
All right.
Good. Glad to get that.
What we're going to do is we haven't tipped all the games so far, up to, I think, the first or the second. I think it was up to this weekend. But we're not going to tip everything on this show. We're just going to tip the games that kick off from, effectively, from the third. So from Thursday onwards, if you like. Anything prior to Thursday, not in this tipping chat. You guys will still keep an eye for the polls, though, because those polls will still come up. And then we're going to start, however, in the Ute League, just as I put my shit together. And we're going to start with Newcastle versus Brisbane. And for that one, I'm going to tip first. And tip. I'm an idiot. Know why.
Brisbane, you're tipping
them, Dave? Brisbane. Yeah, see. The next one we have, and I'm just getting my colours right on my screen, so everyone knows which one we're tipping for this charity bet. Adelaide versus Sydney. Pricey, this is your one to pick. Adelaide versus Sydney.
That's...
It's not an easy one, that one. It is in Adelaide.
No, it's not. It's in Adelaide. Adelaide should be better. I feel like Adelaide are better when they can sit back and counter. I'm going to go draw. I can't split them. I'm just going to sit on the fence on that one.
Nate, are you ready?
I am ready. What have you got for me here?
I should point out, there was a scheduled game. It's still on Keep Up. Melbourne Victory game on Saturday night. It's Wellington. But they've... I don't think it's actually not against Wellington, someone else. What a fucking FA Cup final there. I don't know why they haven't updated to keep up with that shit. We're going to skip on to the Sunday for you, my good friend. On Sunday.
Oh. She isn't the Adelaide... No, it's Central Coast in the final, isn't it? Sorry. Yes. Go ahead, Dad. Central Coast victory.
So we actually... Now you've got me second-guessing myself about what's on fucking Saturday. Thank you very much.
I think you are right. Right. That's... You're fine.
For sure, right. We've got Wellington versus MacArthur. Is what I'm trying to get at there. Wellington versus MacArthur. Hey, tipping. Don't give me a reason. Just give me a tip.
Wellington Phoenix. Jesus Christ, that is a really hard one to tip because they haven't actually played each other. And okay. I gave you a reason.
Yeah, I didn't want no reason. Get your reasons out of here. Melbourne City versus Perth is the next one. And as much as Melbourne City lost to one this weekend, I still think Melbourne City are the better side and they'll win against Perth. The Ute League
should have their Socceroos. They should have their Socceroos.
I imagine so, yeah.
That's what I forgot they were missing.
Swinging over to the dub, just as I get my shady colours up and running so I know which ones to tip in. We start with Adelaide versus Newcastle and Pricey. This is all on you. Adelaide, Newcastle. Action. Who you got?
Adelaide. I'm going to go back Adelaide in that one.
Adelaide, that sounds fine. Yeah,
they've been rolling really well.
Eight.
No, it was Wanderers they play. No good.
Wellington, this should be a gimme. If you get this wrong, right out of the pot. Wellington Phoenix versus Melbourne Victory.
Melbourne Victory.
Right. You play with fire, boy. Fucking, you'll get burned.
If Wellington win this game... if Wellington win this game, fuck off the hell.
I've got Canberra versus Perth in the. We're trying to suss out whether this is going to be our new home ground for the year matchup. That's Perth, of course, sussing out their new potential new home ground. I'm 100% backing Perth in this one because Canberra shit. But they did have a pretty intense 3-3 draw.
It was 3-3 all. Yeah, 3-3 all. They're high scoring games.
I was watching it kind of on and off, but they had literally had went from 1-1, 3-3 in the space of 4 minutes. There's a lot going on. There was a lot happening.
dub things. Just dub things.
Pricey, you've got Melbourne City versus Western City.
I think I saw for that one just quickly that the A-League women's account just, you know, like they put up a graphic for each goal. They literally just did one tweet with like three graphics in it because like they just came so quickly.
It was that quick. It really was. Yeah. Melbourne City versus Western Sydney for you, Pricey.
Melbourne City.
Melbourne City. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, so let's just quickly recap the dub tips. We've got Adelaide over Newcastle, Melbourne victory over Wellington, Perth over Canberra, and Melbourne City over Western Sydney Wanderers. As a quick update to our charity tipping, we have failed once again. That's correct. The charity tipping fell apart in the A-League due to two reasons. Started off with Nate tipping a draw between Western United and Melbourne City. I won't say what the other one that failed was because that was my tip. So, yeah, that was today. That wasn't the first one. And,
but my failed tip was an important one.
Yeah, that's when it failed because that's when the first
tip. That's right. That's when it all fell over. Speaking of tips falling over, Nate, you also got Canberra wrong with the Newcastle Canberra. Speaking of, you tipped Canberra instead of the draw, which in hindsight, a little bit closer than we thought. I thought it was a terrible tip to start with, but because it was a draw and not a Newcastle win. So I'm going to put everything on you. This is all your fault.
look, it's worth it right now, particularly for the
Anyway, but hopefully we got some good tips there that will yield some rarity. Four games, two tips, probably no winners, but that's okay. That's the tipping.
Just because of one thing that did happen in the den last night, are we going to cash out on any of these at all, or the charity bets, or are we going to let them go there?
Right, we ride them to death.
To death. All right, just checking. Just checking because there was a bit of cash out happening in the den last night for some betting.
Well, the idea is that we're going to calculate how much we've outlaid, calculate how much we've won, and whatever the difference is, we give to charity.
Thanks, you need to pay us $75 for all the tips you've made all season.
Mate, at the moment.
Correction.
At the moment, we're $10 in the red, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. At the moment, our tipping is not good enough to make money for charity. Okay, we'll aim to improve. We've got long season to go. Long season.
And hopefully a bit more regular scheduledness around the games as well, just to... Yeah, hopefully we're done with the COVID changes. Anyway, I think that will about do us for this week. And so thank you. Oh, actually, sorry, if you do want to, of course, keep up with us. And if you want to get involved and do the tipping as well. So, of course, we mentioned the listener tips. So they're all available at The Rawcast on Twitter. We don't do them on Facebook. Facebook doesn't allow polls. Or if it does, maybe it's only two options or something. Obviously, it doesn't work when we've got the three. So, so at The Rawcast on Twitter, you'll find all them each weekend. And, well, Dave's sort of, as you said, putting them up when he can, when he actually knows the games will go ahead. Facebook.com/TheRawcast if you want to find us on there. Anchor.fm/TheRawcast is where you can upload these too, and that then spits out all your good podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If it's a podcasting platform, we should be on there.
Even does some bad ones.
Anyway, too. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think so. I think that's it. I'm pretty sure everyone just steals Apple's feed.
Which
to
is
be honest,
we're on all
they
the
just
bad
all scrape
ones,
Apple's database of where podcasts are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. That'll do us. Thank you very much, Dave.
Welcome, mate. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And the photocopier himself, thank you.
Thank you, good sirs. Thank you for putting this all together very quickly for us all.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Nothing like a quickly slap together show because it's like, oh, crap, we've got games like another 2 days. We should really get this show up because we're busy during the week. All right, that was us this week. We'll catch you again soon enough. There'll be a little bit of a longer gap to the next one because as it currently stands, we don't then play for about 10 days after these midweek games. So we'll see how it all goes. But until then, listeners... Bye-bye.
See you.
Ow.